Sonny Deller.
Art Engels, International Life and Casualty.
How you doing, Art?
Hey, listen, John, take something off.
Arthur, my boy, as long as a nice, big, wealthy company like yours just can't wait to pay my expense account.
Now, Johnny.
Plus a sizable fee for my superlative services. Okay, what's it all about? Murder? Fraud? Arson?
No.
Okay, then what?
I don't know.
Oh, you want me, but you don't know what for.
That's right, yeah.
Well, that's a switch.
Actually, Johnny, it's one of our very important clients wants you.
Art, that's not a switch.
He has demanded that you and only you be sent over to see him.
But he hasn't told you why.
That's right.
Uh-oh. Why matters, I got slugged, shot at, and thrown off a bridge.
Well, Johnny...
But okay, Art, I'll run on over and see you.
CBS Radio brings you Bob Bailey in the exciting adventures of the man with the action-packed expense account, America's fabulous freelance insurance investigator.
Yours truly, Sonny Deller. Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Deller to the International Life and Casualty Insurance Company, Hartford, Connecticut office. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the phony phone matter. I don't really go for these vague assignments, but international has always paid off pretty well. So expense account item one, $1.25 for a taxi over to the office of Art Engels. He was waiting outside the building for me in his car. We took off and headed back across town again. Where to, Art?
Mr. Wendell's office is in the Clay Building.
Wendell?
J. Ransom Wendell, the important client I told you about, who wants to see you right away.
But who hasn't told you why he wants to see me?
He hasn't told me.
How important, Art?
Well, he owns and runs the Crown Lithograph Operation.
Never heard of it.
When he inherited that plant, it must have been, 40 years ago. It was just a small outfit. Not worth more than $400,000 or $500,000.
Oh, you call that small?
And now it's worth millions.
Then Wendell is loaded.
He certainly is, Johnny.
And that means he carries a lot of insurance.
One of our biggest accounts. Life insurance on himself.
How much?
$500,000.
Wow.
Insurance on his wife for the same figure. Policies on his home, his cars, plant, personnel.
Ooh.
Well, I make no bones about it. Even if his calling for you is only to satisfy some sort of a whim, we can't afford to turn him down.
Some sort of a whim?
Yeah.
You mean it could be?
Yeah. Johnny, he's so used to having his own way. You know, because of all his money.
Oh, wait now. Hold everything.
Yeah.
J.R. Wendell. Alimony Wendell?
That is our boy.
Married 5, 6, 7 times?
At one.
And always to some delectable dish he picked out of the chorus line of a nightclub on some Broadway show?
That's the one, Johnny. Marries him, finds out all they want is his money, pays him off, then goes ahead and does the same thing all over again.
Oh, brother. But according to the newspaper stories a couple of years ago, he swore he was through with those gold diggers, that he'd never again pay off another one of them.
Mm-hmm. So what happened?
What happens?
9, 10 months ago, he puts a ring on that dancer, LaVon Laverne.
Yikes.
Whereupon she promptly puts a ring in his nose and starts making the usual dent in his bank account.
Oh, now you don't think his wanting to see me has anything to do with his trouble with this LaVon Laverne. Oh, now, Art, I want to...
We'll soon find out, Johnny, because this is his office building.
Wendell's office was huge. The walls were paneled in rich mahogany, hung with fine oil paintings. Wall-to-wall carpeting so thick you sank into it almost up to your ankles. Fine antique furniture, including his tremendous desk. And the man himself really fooled me. He must have been, about 60. But instead of a snide, leering old wolf, he was tall, straight as a ramrod, with clear, frank blue eyes. Yeah, the smart, alert kind of man you'd expect to head up a multimillion-dollar operation. The kind you wouldn't expect to have fallen for a whole line of cheap chorus girls. But then, of course, you never can tell.
Yes, Mr. Engels, Mr. Dollar, it's my wife, LaVon, that I'm concerned about. But since it has nothing whatsoever to do with her insurance at the moment...
Well, now, Mr. Wendell...
Engels, I'm much obliged to you for bringing Dollar to me. If I need you further, I'll let you know.
Well, if I can be of any help in this...
No. Dollar and I can handle this alone, so you just run along.
Okay. Whatever you say.
I'll be in touch.
Yes, so'll I, Art.
All right, Johnny. You let me know just...
Goodbye. All right, Dollar.
Well, now, look, if there's no insurance involved...
Oh, there isn't. I hope there won't be. I'm quite sure there won't be. Nonetheless...
You say this, but I had a notion you were through with marrying all these pretty young girls.
I made some bad mistakes, Dollar. 7 of them, to be exact. Cost me a lot of money, a lot of heartache. Took a lot out of me. Well, let's face it, I pretty much made an old fool of myself. Instead of paying off those girls, those leeches, to get free of them, I should have... I at least profited by the mistakes I made. He's made me a good, a loving, a devoted wife.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Mr. Wendell. But now what's the problem?
Fear.
Fear?
Yes, LeBron's.
But fear of what, sir?
Fear, Mr. Dollar, of being murdered.
Smoking more now, but enjoying it less.
Have a real cigarette. Have a Camel.
So good.
Have a Camel cigarette.
So rich.
Have a real cigarette. Have a Camel.
So mild.
Have a Camel cigarette.
And here's the reason why.
Best tobacco makes the best smoke.
Have a Camel cigarette.
You can say that again.
Best tobacco makes the best smoke. Have a Camel cigarette.
If you're smoking more these days, but enjoying it less, then change to Camels, the best-tasting cigarette of all.
Have a Camel!
Start to really enjoy smoking again. And now, the second act of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Now, wait, Mr. Wendell. Your wife, LaVonne, she's been threatened with murder.
Threatened? No.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
But, Dollar... She's fearful that someone is going to kill her. It's been going on for several weeks now.
Why?
I don't know. All I know is that she's become terribly upset over this idea, this fear. I've called on you to see if you can determine for me if there are grounds for all this apprehension.
What if she hasn't received any direct threats?
Well, she says that she hasn't.
Well, now,
something
look,
something has got into her, gotten her into this unfortunate state of mind. I don't know what it is. But I hope you can find out for me.
You sure you shouldn't have called in a psychiatrist?
Have one of those stupid, money-grubbing head shrinkers ask her a lot of silly questions.
Oh, no, wait.
I know, LaVonne. I know what her reaction would be. She's nervous and upset enough about these fears as it is. But you, posing as an old friend, as our guest there at the lodge.
Your lodge, Mr. Wendell?
Yes, over on the Peekabuck River above Farmington. It's a little place we keep as a sort of retreat, a place to get away from it all.
I see.
When I left the house here in town a few minutes ago, I told LaVonne we'd meet her there for lunch and start the weekend a little early.
We, huh?
I told her you're an old friend. Come east for a bit of a vacation.
Oh, from where?
Los Angeles.
Tell us.
Good. Well, then why don't we leave right away?
Mr. Wendell...
We'll stop at your apartment so you can pick up some clothes, then we'll head on up to the lodge. Excuse me.
But now, look here,
yes,
sir, I'm...
Mr. Wendell?
Miss Barker, have my car brought around, please.
Yes, sir.
I'll be gone until Monday.
Have a pleasant weekend, Mr. Wendell.
Thank you. Well?
Well, I still don't quite understand what you expect me to do up there at your lodge.
Dollar, I have known about you for years. I have great respect for your talents. Not only as a crime investigator, but because of your ability to deal with people... Get very close to them.
Ah. People like your charming and beautiful wife, Mr. Wendell?
Oh, no. I'm very serious, Dollar. You have a knack of inspiring confidence, of getting things out of people that... Well, you see, I follow the reports of your cases on the radio very closely.
Yeah, well...
I'm convinced that you can be of more help than any psychiatrist could possibly...
And also, and let's be frank about this...
Yes?
That is, if your wife's fears are justified...
Well?
You also think I might be handy to have around as a bodyguard. Right?
Yes, Dollar, that's right.
We drove over to my place and I packed a couple of bags. I also picked up the old faithful .38 caliber limit squeezer. We drove east on Route 4 to Farmington, then north along the western side of the Peekabuck River, and finally east again on a private road. Meantime, as we drove along, I questioned Mr. Wendell further.
No, Dollar, I can think of no one who might want to harm her, of whom she ought to be worried or afraid.
Well, there must be some basis for this fear of hers.
Of course, before I met LaVon and married her, when she was dancing in nightclubs, and I'm afraid not always the better ones.
Well, a lot of those joints are run by racketeers.
Yes. Contacts in those days were not always with the best of people.
Something to work on, isn't it?
Oh, but now here we are. You like my little place?
Oh, you call this little?
We like it because it doesn't require any servants, and we can...
Now, what's the matter?
Well, nothing. Only it's well afternoon, and I don't see Levine's car anywhere.
Well, maybe she's been here and left to do some shopping or something.
Come along, Dollar. Let's go in and see.
Well, I suppose 10 rooms is rather small to a man like Mr. Wendell. But I didn't have much chance to look around because of his concern over his wife. He went through the motions of pouring a couple of drinks.
I just don't understand this, Dollar. It's almost 1 o'clock. She's always on time. Will you excuse me? I'm going to see if something's held her up at home. Oh, LaVon. I'm just silly, I suppose, but I'm here at the lodge with Mr. Dollar, and I was beginning to get worried about you. Why, you weren't here when we... Visitor. Anybody I know? Vonnie, you sound worried about something. What is it, dear? Vonnie? Vonnie? Hello?
What's wrong, Mr.
Vonnie, that sound I heard, what was it? Hello? Vonnie, what is it?
All right now, Mr. Wendell, what happened?
I don't know, Mr. Dollar. She gave a strange kind of a kind of a gasp.
Yeah.
I believe she dropped the telephone. There was a thump, a heavy thump.
Okay.
Operator.
Operator, give me police headquarters in Hartford. Make it a homicide.
We'll continue with yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in exactly 30 seconds. A signature can reveal a great deal. Take, for instance, one that you hear every day, the highly respected signature CBS News. That's the name that stands behind every news broadcast heard over this network. It's your assurance that you're hearing the very latest news and that you're hearing it reported with scrupulous accuracy. Remember that, CBS News, the first word in swiftness, the last word in accuracy. You can depend on it. Fight cancer with a checkup and a check. Today's reminder from the CBS Radio Network. Now, back to yours truly, Johnny Dollar, and the phony phone matter.
By the time we got back to Wendell's home in Hartford, the police were there, Lieutenant Billy Walker in charge. The body of LaVon Wendell lay sprawled on the floor next to a sofa. The telephone had fallen to the floor beside her. One of Walker's men was dusting it for prints. Another, obviously the medic, had removed a knife from the middle of her back. Wendell had slumped into a chair, and he sat there staring as though he couldn't quite believe it. His face was white, and he kept clenching and unclenching his hands with such force I was sure his palms were bleeding. The only sound he made was an occasional half-smothered sob.
Must have killed her instantly, Dollar. Doc here says the knife went clear through into her heart.
Yeah. Think you can trace that knife, Lieutenant?
Oh, I don't have to. Came from that collection up there over the fireplace. Johnny, that could indicate it was done by somebody she knew that she let in here.
You mean somebody who came unprepared to kill her?
Right. Oh, the back door was left ajar, by the way.
Any servants in this place?
We're way ahead of you.
What?
Well, to begin with, they're an old couple. Neither one of them could have had the strength to do this.
Oh, are they?
They were given the weekend off.
How do you know that?
One of the boys who knows them saw them at the station early this morning.
Oh.
Said they were heading down to New York to see some relatives.
Yes, we... We let them go, Lieutenant, because we plan to be up in the country for the weekend.
Okay, Mr. Wendell.
If only there'd been someone here when he... when whoever did this.
Easy now, sir.
A visitor, she said. She told me over the phone it
was
a visitor.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Me who it was before. Dollar, you've got to find him. You've got to find this killer.
Don't worry, Mr. Wendell. We'll do everything
we can. Spare no expense. I'll do anything. I'll give you anything you want, but you must find him.
Yeah, your attorney, Mr. Wendell.
Dollar, I don't care what it costs or what you have to do. My attorney?
He'll have to be notified of this immediately. Who is he?
Spidle. Hello, Spidle. I'll take care of it as soon as I can pull myself together.
Now, look, you can't be of any help at the moment, so why don't you just sit down and better still pour yourself a drink.
A drink?
Yeah, do you good. Go ahead.
Yes, perhaps you're right. Perhaps that's...
Lieutenant.
Oh, wait a second, Johnny. You sure of that, Mac? Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Sure of what?
Johnny, the only prints on that phone are hers. You'd think in a household like this, unless somebody wiped them off just in case.
Of course, Lieutenant. Look, I'll see you later.
What?
I borrowed Mr. Wendell's car without bothering to ask him for it. I drove to the office of Lawyer Spidell, all on a big fat hunch. And I thought he might be able to help me with a better understanding of the whole Wendell setup. You know something? I don't think he'll ever know how much he did help me.
Well, as long as you were there with him at the lodge and heard the phone conversation with her.
Why, yes.
Of course, it's too bad, LaVon going like this, but Dollar, I can't say I'm at all surprised. And, by the way of being cold-blooded about it, well, it saves Wendell the trouble and expense of another divorce, more alimony.
Yeah.
Dollar, he is one of the most clever, the most ruthless businessmen I've ever known. Yet these girls, one after another, have been able to take him for so much.
And you don't think this one would have lasted?
Huh? I'm certain of it.
But I thought he and LaVon were getting along pretty well.
Oh, I suppose he may have thought so. I don't see why, though.
Oh, what do you mean?
Some of the others were pretty expensive while he was married to them. They all were afterward, but none of them compared with LaVon. Did you ever see one of her lavish nightclub parties?
No.
Why, the other night, last Tuesday, I just happened to be in the Purple Cat over in... Now, mind you, I'm not a nightclub habitué.
Yeah, Mr. Spidell,
Yes?
I think I'd better be going.
Oh? But I thought perhaps I could be of help to you.
Oh, you've been plenty of help.
After all, I know the names of many of the gangsters with whom this girl was formerly associated.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Any one of whom might be a possible suspect.
More so than Mr. Wendell himself.
Wendell himself?
Think that over.
But you were with him there at the lodge. You heard him talking to her on the phone when it happened.
That's so?
Of course. You yourself are his perfect alibi.
Am I? Yeah. That telephone conversation. So item two on the expense account is 10 cents for a phone call to my favorite gal friend, Betty Lewis. As I expected, she was willing to go along with a little stunt I had in mind that might blow this whole murder case wide open. By the time I got back to Wendell's home, the police and his wife's body were gone. And he...
You were right, Dollar. I've pulled myself together enough to realize that what's happened has happened. Oh, I forgot to call my attorney, as you suggested. I'll do it right away.
No. Wait, I want to talk to you.
Yes?
Besides, I'm expecting a call myself on that phone.
Oh, you made some progress?
Yeah, quite a bit, I think.
Well, good.
I understand that as a businessman, you're pretty... Well, that phone conversation there at your lodge was pretty smart.
Will you please start making sense,
oh,
Dollar?
I was pretty dumb. I should have realized you couldn't have dialed this number from up here.
Just a minute.
Sorry, I want to get this call.
Dollar!
Hello?
Hi, hon. This is Betty.
Yeah, this is Johnny, Dollar.
Oh, then it is for you.
Now, do I got to hang up and leave you with an empty line the way you said I should?
Yes.
Oh, gee.
Yes. Yes, I'm alone here. What? I'll give you 500 if your info is accurate.
What is it, Mr. Dollar?
No, 500 is the limit. Unless you're willing to appear and testify in court. Okay, then it's 1,000. Come on over here and I'll give it to you. If you can give me enough facts right now to prove you were here.
What goes on there, Dollar?
Oh, you actually saw him, huh? Through which window? Yeah? Side of the room? Yeah, I can see from here.
Who are you talking
to? And you actually saw him take the knife from his collection over the... Yeah? Yeah. Then he what? The back door? Yeah, I got it. His own car, huh? Well, sure, to his office in time to meet me there.
Hang up that phone, Dollar.
Excuse me, I've...
Hang it up.
Yeah, sure.
So somebody saw me. Somebody saw me, killer. But when that informer comes here to collect the money you promised...
Mr. Wendell...
Dollar, he's going to get exactly what you're going to get. A bullet in the head. You see this gun?
Now, Mr. Wendell, my name isn't Matt Dillon.
What?
But if you think you can outdraw me... Wow. Well, I hope Wendell never finds out that my phone conversation with a mythical informer was just as phony as his. His talk with his wife after he'd killed her had left her there at the telephone at his home. Had set me up for an alibi at the lodge. But then what's the difference where he's going? Expense account total? $1.35. Oh, let's talk about the fee on this one. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Constipation can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say.
A laxative should be effective, gentle, close to natural acting. A medicine that can be used with complete confidence.
Now, X-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because chocolated X-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. X-Lax is so gentle, it's why many doctors and millions of people use X-Lax with complete confidence. X-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity, gently, overnight.
Now, here is our star to tell you about next week's program.
Next week, one of my ever-loving gals comes into the case. And believe me, things get complicated. Join us, won't you? Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Johnny Dollar, starring Bob Bailey, originates in Hollywood and is written, produced, and directed by Jack Johnstone. Heard in our cast were Virginia Gregg, Harry Bartell, Marvin Miller, Dick Crenna, and Lou Merrill. Be sure to join us next week, same time and station, for another exciting story of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. This is John Wall speaking. Suspense, next on the CBS Radio Network.
Radio 59, WRRW, first on the dial, serving Albany, Tri, and Schenectady.